Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the ARMR Report, which stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. And what we do here is try to marry traditional investing and investment thinking with cutting-edge technology that helps improve your accuracy when it comes to putting capital to risk and taking capital out of the markets to reduce risk. You can follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T, Rosenthal, R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L. You can find us on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. You can get all of our podcasts. And also on our homepage, you'll find a live update. So anytime there's a major change in our algorithms that monitor the top five indexes, that's the S&P 500, the Dow 30, the NASDAQ 100, the small cap index, and the mid cap index. Whenever we have major changes during the trading session with our algorithms, we update our homepage, and so you can see and hopefully help you make some intelligent decisions and improve your accuracy when it comes to managing your own capital or capital for others. Just a second here. Let me just finish up. You know, we're on a trading desk right now, so there's a lot happening. Market just closed, and we have a lot to get to. This is our monthly report where we go over our ARMR report. We write a report every month that allows you to read exactly what the algorithms were talking about and saying the prior month, and then we give a preview of what's happening this month. And that's what we're going to go over today. We're going to go over the July report. Then we're also going to highlight, using our algorithms, what groups were buying, what groups were focusing on using the ETFs of those groups, and then what stocks, as we drill down into those groups, what stocks we find most attractive. Let's jump in first. This is a little anecdote, a little story, something that really I find about financial news and news networks and reading news stories about investments. I find that very often they're misleading. And so this is just a quick story. And I hope you could take away from this story the reality of how newspapers and other reporting sources are used to manipulate stocks. So this is a little out of left field here. I want to start off today with something a little different. I've been doing this over 30 years. I've come across this many times. On our Twitter feed today, I put up a poll. And I asked my followers to vote on whether or not the headline from the Washington Post story about Twitter was a paradox or not. And the headline stated that Twitter had suspended 70 million inactive fake accounts, and that was going to negatively affect their user growth. And my question to the Washington Post and any editor or writer involved in that report, are they listening to what they're writing? The paradox there is so obvious to me. And yet when I do the poll and I see who responds to the poll, it's not obvious to everybody, which I find interesting. The paradox is so obvious to me. If a company is getting rid of malicious fake accounts that are not active most of the time, how can that be a negative for their user growth? It, quite frankly, is the stupidest headline I've ever read. And yet the stock is down 10% Twitter this morning on that story. And some analyst comes out and downgrades the stock. They already had a hold on the stock. They've missed a 40% move in the last couple of months. And now they downgrade it to a sell because of this ridiculous story. And, of course, the stock closes well off the low. It was only down about 5% on the day. But I submit to you that this is a buying opportunity in front of the next earnings announcement for Twitter. This has nothing to do with algorithms right now. This is just, I wanted to share with you these every now and then, these egregious reports, whether it be Washington Post or any you know, CNBC or what have you. Very often financial news is out there to mislead the investing public. Period. Full stop. Please be aware of that. Now look back at your investments over the last couple of years, and I further submit to you that you're going to notice perhaps you got shaken out of an investment that was the right investment that would have made you a lot of money, and yet you were shaken out of it because of a stupid headline like this. How is it not a paradox? The company is getting rid of accounts that are malicious and fake, and somehow the Washington Post thinks that's a negative for user growth. It's a joke. And on further podcasts, I'm going to share with you, I might even just do a special podcast just for this one particular report. My early days as a financial analyst, doing research on companies, I'm going to delve even deeper into this topic of how what you can uncover as an analyst, and you can do this as an individual now. There's such immediate access to information all over the web if you know how to cull that information and glean the real pieces of truth. You can really build a whiteboard of ideas that you want to buy on weakness. And then what you do is you wait for ridiculous stories like this, and you get that weakness, and then you find an opportunity to put money to work. And there's the segue into algorithms. The question is, when do you put the money to work? I don't just buy Twitter today because it's down big on a stupid story. But the fact is, this will set up an opportunity. I mean, we already own Twitter. Okay? So those of you who follow us and are following these podcasts know that we've been fans of Twitter for some time now and have owned it for some time. And so in the Armor Report, we try to break down for you how to use algorithms and the information off of those algorithms based on the type of investor you are. Whether you're a long-term investor where you buy and hold things, or whether you're a trader, algorithms can really help. And so from the standpoint of Twitter, we're long-term investors there. We want to own Twitter for a long period of time. But what we do to enhance our performance and enhance our alpha is to hold a core position of Twitter. We're always going to have that core percentage in the portfolio until we believe the fundamentals have changed. But we like to double and triple the size of the position using the algorithm, right? And then cut it back and take profits off the table when it gets extended. So we're buying weakness and selling into strength with a portion of that Twitter position. And we hold a core position as buy and holders. And when you marry those two disciplines, you can really improve your success as a fund manager or as an individual investor in your own portfolio. It really puts control into your hands as an investor, as opposed to just buying and holding and suffering major declines in equities and having to pretend to yourself as you look in the mirror in the morning, oh, it's okay, the market will come back even though I'm down, 25-30% in the last 2 months or more, 50% in the last 4 months. And you kind of, look in the mirror and try to convince yourself that that's okay. And that's not okay. It's never okay to have your portfolio drop to that degree just because you're a buy and holder. You never have to suffer that type of decline. You can buy and hold a core position, and then you enhance that position by owning a lot more at the right entry points using an algorithm, and then booking a lot of those gains when things get extended, which gives you the cushion to withstand the declines because you're culling and reaping the rewards as you go on on runs. So marrying the two disciplines can be very effective. Okay, let's hop into the July report. What we had in June, real quick, going back and looking at June on all five of the indexes, and we said this at the beginning of June on our monthly call, the monthly ARMA report call, we said that June was the month of high risk, be careful, be ready to sell into the strength. This is exactly what happened in June. The algorithm had us selling in the beginning of June as targets were reached. So a part of our sell protocol is to sell into strength. That's as things are breaking out and running and everyone gets excited on CNBC, we're out there feeding out some of our stock to those individuals who don't understand how to run money correctly. And then, of course, we use trailed stops to protect capital. So we're going to try to let a position run as long as possible. We're going to sell some at targeted points, which are mathematical exit points, using statistics and probabilities and, you know, other secret sauce that makes up our algorithms. So when we hit those particular points, and the S&P was a great example in the month of June, it hit a primary target. And the S&P really adheres to these primary targets. It's the biggest index, it's the most liquid, and it tends to have the highest degree of probability when reaching certain points because of its liquidity and its nature. So as we go down the capital structure from what I call the capital structure, at least from big indexes like the S&P to individual stocks, the bigger the index and the more liquid, the more important the targets are, because the statistics and probability are have an incredibly high correlation. Okay, and as you get into, let's say, individual stocks, it's still important. Those targets are still important, but sometimes individual stocks can way overshoot the target before eventually coming back to it. And so you have to have different algorithms for different asset classes. But when it comes to the S&P, it was a poster child in the month of June. We had a great buy signal in May, rallied right up to the primary target in the beginning of June. We booked some of our profits, significant amount. We raised our stops. We had a trail stop. And then that trail stop was hit at the end of June. And what was interesting and how the statistics really work is that when we trail stopped out, we were trail stopping out at or below the primary target price to begin with. And now we get in July, on July 5th, a re-entry opportunity in the S&P below our primary target from the previous entry point. This is called adding alpha. We're selling into strength at higher prices and we're buying back into the market at cheaper prices. The very definition of alpha, right? Because we're beating the buy and hold guy who's just holding the S&P through all these swings. And so I can hear somebody right now who's listening saying that's not true in a taxable account. Okay, well, it certainly is true in non-taxable accounts, and there are ways to deal with the taxable issue that you're bringing up, which we can discuss in a different podcast. The first thing I would say to that, though, is I've never managed my capital caring about what my taxes are going to be. Because while it's true that the government will take a piece of your profits, it's also true that the market will take 100% of your profits. The market can take 100% of your profits at any time. So what matters more, that I give a piece to the government while I'm booking profits and protecting my capital, or giving back all of my gains and looking at them turn into losses because I wasn't willing to pay some taxes? I don't even think it's a discussion. So that's where I stand on that issue. Okay, so what we had on all the major indexes in the month of June was we hit all our targets, and then we came down, market came down, and tripped out the stops. I think it's also interesting to note in the month of June, we did not have Dow exposure. The weakest index we were not involved in. We were focused on the indexes where money was flowing, and particularly that was small cap and mid cap. Now let's fast forward to today. What happened on July 5th? July 5th, we had another entry point into the indexes. And there are different types of entry points create different responses from us when it comes to managing capital. When we get 4 out of 5 indexes giving us the risk on entry opportunity at the same time, that's generally a very strong, there's a very strong probability that the assets are going higher. If you only get 1 or 2 indexes that give you a risk on signal and the others don't follow, that's a more muddled picture, and we will take a different position side. We always put capital to work when we get our indexes telling us to put capital to work. But the art, a bit of the art, and what we'll try to do on these podcasts once a month, and even maybe on some action alerts during the month, is to help you understand how aggressive we're being with the risk on or risk off signal. In this case, this is a very bullish opportunity at the beginning of July. 4 out of 5 indexes gave us an entry point, and the only index not giving us an entry point right now is the small caps, and that's because they've run up too fast from the entry point, and so we're not going to chase. It's just at the moment it's a very bullish signal. Now on top of that, the next piece to the puzzle when it comes to our confidence level, and statistically, when I talk about confidence, I'm always talking about we look at the quantitative data and what does it tell us. And that's what I try to share with you on these podcasts. What is the quantitative data from our algorithms telling us about risk management? And I can tell you that the way the markets have behaved since the entry point of June 5th and 6th, it happened over a 24-hour period. A couple of indexes were positive on the 5th and then the others on the 6th. The action off of that entry point has been so strong, there's a high probability that prices go higher for a period of time. I don't know how long, I don't know how fast or how high it'll go. But it's an overwhelmingly powerful signal based on the behavior and the quantitative data off of that behavior. So we expect this entry opportunity to continue, to accelerate. We're not long IWM, but we focused our capital on the mid caps, and those charts kind of look the same. The mid caps and the small caps kind of run together. So we're focused a little bit more on the mid caps. And now it's time to delve into, you know, how are we enhancing our exposure in this environment? And I'll let you grab a pen and a piece of paper, take a sip of some green tea here. Green tea in the afternoon gets me through the rest of the day. Add a little dark chocolate and I'm flying right up until the close. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to jot some of these things down. Usually we talk about the big indexes, and so this is more of a philosophical discussion. But today I thought we'd drill down into individual groups and stocks inside those groups, because we have such a strong risk-on entry signal based on our algorithmic risk management research, or what we call ARMR. When we look at the indexes, where we drill down into what groups are moving, we're going to be focusing on our favorite technology groups. And we use ETFs to do it. And they rotate. We have a number of ETFs that are in the technology space that we like. These are I'll just tell you the assets that we've focused on right now. The first is FDN, Foxtrot Delta November. For those of you who don't know FDN, the basic way to describe it is it's a good way to get a hold of the FANG stocks. big cap internet. That's all the important names. Then we drop down a little bit to some smaller names. We buy Social, which is the social media ETF, SOCL. 10% of that index is Twitter, and I find it amazing that Social's up over 0.5% today with Twitter down 5%. That tells you something. We also own big cap technology names, XLK. Now, you already know we own NASDAQ 100, which is QQQ. XLK is just kind of an extension of that. So it's given us overexposure to the NASDAQ 100 through XLK. And, you know, we've got to focus on the biotech space, IBB. It blew out with the Biogen, it's the Biogen announcement earlier this week. And we're focusing our attention really on Gilead at the moment. If you drill down into into the IBB biotech space, you'll find Gilead looks like an unbelievable opportunity on a huge double bottom, and we're just using the algorithm to put the capital to work. We did that 3 days ago. So please don't, you know, jot these down and turn around and go buy them tomorrow. That's not what this podcast is about. This is not a timing podcast on buy these tomorrow. You know, we own some of these. We don't own some of these. This is just a philosophical discussion on where to focus your attention. And then you as an investor have to determine how much risk you want to put on, what type of investor you are, and make sure you're buying things before they've exploded higher. We would never pay for Gilead up here. Our algorithms had us into Gilead 4 days ago. So, and then I just want to share, you know, the one index in May that did not give us an entry point that that's another one of our favorite tech names is the semiconductor group. And it's been just suffering along with the industrial space because of the trade war issues. Well, we've got a very good opportunity, it looks like, in the semiconductor. Well, let's put it this way. I don't know if it's a good opportunity or not. What I'm sharing with you is an algorithm that tells us that the reward from here is worth the risk we're taking. It's very important you reprogram your thinking. There's no ego involved here. If we're stopped out tomorrow, that's the way it goes. This is a strategy. It's a way of managing money and managing risk. If you follow it over time, you'll find that it becomes more relaxing to invest. You're not constantly on the edge of your seat feeling sick about what you're doing because you're following a strategy that gets you on the right sides of probability and statistics. Okay? So we've been looking for the semiconductor index, and the reward from here could be significant for the risk we're taking. We always know what our stop is. What I find interesting right now is that assets that were not strong in the month of June, that did not show up as great opportunities in the month of May, are showing up now and starting to lead. You know, we said in our Armor report today that we put out that we were not involved in the Dow Jones 30, which is basically industrial stocks in the month of June and even at the end of May. We didn't have it. Worst performing index. Yet now we're long the Dow, and semiconductors are following the industrial space. And so all of a sudden, that sector of the market's waking up. Very interesting. Complexion of the market's changing a bit. We've been long utilities for the last couple of months. We just booked half of our profits today. Blew out above our primary target and reversed back below it today. We took 50% of our gains out of that position. If that weakness continues in utilities and we start to see the industrials and the semis, and we were buying shares of financials today, if that move really turns on, then you've got a market that's going to rip higher in the month of July. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. Look, this is not about ego. If it reverses tomorrow, we've got to execute. We've got to protect capital, wait for the next opportunity. But I'm just saying to you, if you take nothing away from this conversation, the risk-on opportunity on July 5th is a potent opportunity. And so, just to wrap up this podcast, I would say that, I shared, you know, I mentioned I would share some individual stock ideas. So let's just end on that note. We talked about we've talked about Twitter, although I'm not buying it right here, waiting for that opportunity. One of our favorite opportunities, we feel, again, this is all about reward and risk. I can't say it enough, so if it gets annoying to you, I apologize, but it's a new way of thinking about investments. I'm not telling you I know what's going to happen. I'm telling you the reward from here is significant on these assets, and we know what the risk is. There's always a stop, and if it hits the stop, we're out. But IBM looks like a no-brainer in here. Everybody hates it. The stock pays a 4% dividend yield. It's made a huge double bottom, just like Gilead did. Gilead's blown out. IBM is starting to have a move too. That just seems like a good reward versus risk opportunity. We also just booked some profits in Verizon and AT&T, two other assets that look like, you know, they had a great entry point. They rallied up off of their lows. We collected a dividend yield, which is better than 5% on both of those assets, and we booked half of our gains already. We're still holding half of those positions. And I think actionable information on today's market is that the financials look like they're waking up. And if they are, they have a lot of catching up to do. And our favorite financials in there, the ETF is KRE, Kilo Romeo Echo. And then we love some of the bigger names like JP Morgan, JPM, Charles Schwab, SCHW. These stocks have been destroyed the last couple of months, so we're buying weakness. You know, if they take out our stops, we're gone. Our risk is not going to be enormous. But if this is the turn, these stocks have a lot of catching up to do. So the reward could be great. So I know this is a lot of information I've been throwing at you. I hope it's helpful. If you take nothing away from this, this is the only thing you remember from this podcast. It's the following. Use algorithms to help you manage your risk and get on the right side of probability and statistics. That's what you're trying to do. I'm going to do a future podcast, and I'm going to title it, I Started Making Money When I Stopped Reading Zero Hedge. I think I'll do that next week. I think next Monday I'll do a podcast about that, with that title. And maybe you all will understand what I'm talking about. Zero hedge is incredibly negative on everything having to do with the economy, the market, the country. And if you come at the market with a negative tone and a concern, constant concern about weakness, you just, I beg you to remember that the market goes up 80% of the time. You are putting yourself on the wrong side of probability and statistics, and your performance will suffer. And to get you out of that headspace, what you can do is, you know, use algorithms to get you out of that headspace, to have armor for your portfolio, to protect yourself and still capture upside. You can use an algorithm, and that's what our podcasts are about and our website's about. I hope to see you again on Monday and chat with you again. Take a look at the website. It's rosenthalcapital.com. And follow us on Twitter, @Brett, B-R-E-T, Rosenthal, R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L. Have a good afternoon, everybody.